We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one. This one I'm talking about right now is Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right, let me bring in a couple of people that are oftentimes out front and many times also in the background of things that we do around here at Right Side Radio. They are integral to the team, and they are good at what they do. So let me call the roll real quick. Coming online through the clean feed connection right now, Butters, are you there, my brother?
I am here.
You are indeed, sounding crystal clear. All right, stand by. And then also calling in from up the great north of Huntsville, Lee from Huntsville, how are you?
I'm good. Present.
All right, good. We got them both. Hit me some whoop-whoops for Butters and Lee. All right, you guys, let's break up the flow here. It's been all Phil for the last hour and a half, so let's get some other opinions going. So you know the deal. I ask y'all questions, and then we flip the script after the break, and you come back and just ask me questions. So here's my first question. So Biden apparently today, I just learned, is signing an executive order. It's an executive order to promote a task force to examine a ban. I mean, how about that? A executive order to examine a task force to promote a ban on Glock switches. Glock switches, which, by the way, are already banned. Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin is apparently also traveling up there to D.C. to take part in the ceremony after having two mass shootings in 70 days, and he believes the whole problem is because of Glock switches. So give me your thoughts. I'll go with Butters first. What do you think about this?
Well, we should also ban all cars because, you know, people get killed in car accidents.
And I heard
we
that.
Really need to not accept any deaths. It's just more nonsense and a real distractor from, hey, let's have a real conversation about why this is going on. It's pretty pathetic. In my opinion.
What do you think about Woodfin making time to fly up there and be a part of the ceremony?
I didn't know that was really necessary. I mean, he's the mayor of Birmingham. Like, why? What's the game they're playing? What's the messaging they're trying to do? Probably just another puppet.
A little window dressing. All right, Lee, what do you think about it?
Well, I think, first of all, it sounds like a bunch of nothing. It's already federally banned, so you're going to have something that looks into a possible executive order to say we might. I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. it's just a chance to say something and virtue signal by the administration. You know, Biden probably didn't even know what a Glock switch is. But for Woodfin, this is a shell game of don't look at me. Don't point the finger at me for the problems that have been going on in my city. I'm going to point the finger at this piece of equipment that someone can buy and transition a regular gun to an automatic. Which, A, have they even said that was what was you?
No, they haven't. No.
Okay.
But he's sure it is. He's sure it is.
Well, okay. I'm glad that he, in his imaginary, you know, confirmation, are sure that's what it is. The point to me, though, is he is dodging responsibility, and he's going, look over here, don't look at me, I'm not responsible. That's what this is. And it's promoting. He's going to fly up there. Like, we need to spend taxpayer dollars to send him up to D.C. to sit around on some nothing. He needs to be in Birmingham saving money and working up a task force of some kind with our governor to get this under control. But see, he doesn't have any interest in really stopping it.
Well, and you know what else is about to happen? I've never seen this before. Maybe this is the way things really are, and I just didn't know it. But apparently, the executive order is going to be signed by both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. In other words, the vice president is signing the executive order also. Pray tell, why would that be?
But is that even legal?
I don't know. I've never heard of this before. I mean, I thought executive orders were the actual executive himself, and not just like the whole branch signing things.
What powers do lie inherent to the position of the vice president of the United States?
I'm pretty sure her job is to wait for the president to die and to attend the funerals of foreign heads of state. That's pretty much it.
Exactly. She has no power. Not in that way.
it's just one more example of just not understanding how the system's supposed to work. You know, it's just crazy. You got to have powers that lie in the actual positions, and you're just making stuff up.
Well, and I'm pretty sure
that's what the executive order says. I mean, it's not meaningful.
But I'm also pretty sure, just knowing a little bit about guns, just a little bit. I only know a little bit, just a little bit about guns, that the Glock switch, you know, the fact that you can fire on roughly full auto is not going to necessarily make things more deadly. It just means bullets are going to fly faster, but they're also far less accurate when that happens. Just the whole thing.
But you still have to change the magazine, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And the magazine only holds, depending on 10 to 15 bullets. That's it.
I can put 15 rounds out of a double stack magazine and a Glock 19 and change that magazine and be going again within a matter of seconds.
But I'm saying it's not that big a deal. It's not like they've got some long giant magazine of bullets and they're spraying every. You have to change your magazine. A Glock only holds so much.
Yeah, and you can get extended magazines, but even still, you're looking at 21.
Right. I mean.
Okay. All right.
People think they're standing there with a machine gun. That's what, in people's minds, they're literally standing there with a machine gun mowing people down because people don't know anything.
Like some kind of Ma Deuce, like somehow it increases the caliber and the killing effectiveness of the round. But that's what happens when you have liberals who've never touched a gun and don't understand them trying to blame the equipment as opposed to the criminal. But I imagine this is going to be like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party today up there in D.C. It's going to be a hoot.
Surrounded by people with guns.
So, exactly. Surrounded by people with guns. All right. Number two question. You ready? Here we go. Been a lot of stuff in the news, even in Alabama, about Haitian migrants being bussed into small Alabama towns, small towns everywhere. Springfield, Ohio has been, you know, the poster child for all this. But now Sylacauga, Alabama, Athens, Alabama, up in Marshall County, Alabama. You got discussions about MS-13 gang activity in Baldwin County, Alabama. Fairhope, Alabama had a pretty rowdy town hall meeting. I mean, you've got people that are very upset. And so the state legislature is actually pondering some action. I had one state senator on the show yesterday talking about the fact that they're beginning to brainstorm right now on a package of bills that might address things. So here's my question for you. What things do you think, what ideas would you bring to the table if you were given the opportunity at the state level to try and curb or mitigate all of these influxes of foreign migrants? Lee, you first.
They're going where the employment is and where the housing is, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, I would say there needs to be a clear understanding or maybe even a prohibition of some of these city council people and mayors, et cetera, of small towns. Owning apartment buildings, trailer parks, whatnot, to house, you know, apartments, and getting federal money, it's a conflict of interest. And I think they're going to need to consider maybe legislating something about that. I don't know what you could do, but it smells when these people are making decisions in their best interest, not necessarily the public. But also, I think having too many in a small area can literally change the culture of a town. Just like that Ohio town, when you got 40,000 people and you bring 20,000 Haitians, that's insane.
Yeah.
You can't, I think, spreading them out instead of having them in large clump is going to encourage assimilation anyway. And we don't need little Haitis everywhere. We need people assimilating and becoming American and having their children become American. And, you know, that's the difference of a melt, you know, we're a melting pot, not just a pot full of a bunch of raw ingredients. We want to have everything work together successfully. And also, one of the sheriffs told me that they were considering having a meeting with some of the Haitian leaders and saying, hey, we need to have like maybe a group event to talk to them about expectations of living in these small towns, sort of do's and don'ts, if you will. Maybe don't eat a stray cat or a goose or whatever. And stuff like just... Honestly, these people are coming from a hellhole. I don't know what they know or what they think or, you know.
Well, they're important in the third world. They really are. So your solutions would be to address the question of, I think you said employers,
housing.
Right? You said employers and
employers
housing.
Employers and housing.
All right. I can see that. All right. Now, Butters, what do you think? What else would you add to the fray?
Well, so... perhaps looking at a little train system, buses, whatever, to just move them on up to, say, Washington, D.C. I'm sure we'd probably get some other surrounding states
so,
on board.
So start our own Florida-style resettlement program, is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah. I think on a much harder conversation to have is, well, what does it really mean to be a resident of Alabama? You know, we saw with Texas and having to send the National Guard down saying, well, look, if the feds aren't going to take care of the southern border, then we will. You know, that's really clear and easy to see. But at what point does it become, you know, hey, the state needs to have its own. If you want to, we're going to have our own borders. And if you want to come, you know, reside in this area, then we've got our own immigration and you know, all the issues that conflicts with federal immigration, all that kind of stuff. But I think there's some really, really tough conversations ahead for all the states. Definitely looking at the practices of the employers, the major employers. I know a lot of folks are going up to like the Albertville area because of the chicken industry. That definitely scrutiny needs to be applied.
I think that's all the kind of stuff we need to look at. I think the other thing, because you're removing the incentive at that point, but I think the other thing that needs to be looked at, and it goes back to what Lee said. I think on the housing issue, what we're hearing right now too is that there are people that are being put out of their rental homes so that the landlord can then take in three times what they would have taken from other renters on a federal subsidy to house migrants. And they're housing multiple families. I think there has to be some measure of zoning in place, so you can't have mass, you know, like you can't have like multiple families in one home that's meant for be a single residence. And you can't also, by the way, I think there ought to be civil penalties. Like people can sue if they can prove that they were kicked out, so that the landlord could then be a mercenary and get like triple the rent off of a federal subsidy for an illegal immigrant. I think those kind of things have to be looked at as a deterrent, also. Yeah.
I think this is probably one of the biggest examples of what we've talked about so much, the last year and a half, of what's going on at the local level. Because a lot of this may not necessarily be a state issue.
Yeah.
You know, it may be a county, city, municipality issue, like you said, the zoning, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I saw where Will Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, is saying that if he had the option, he would say that the state of Alabama would not receive any federal monies designed to incentivize or provide programs for relief to Haitian resettlement, just so that would basically deter. It's a tough nut, man. But I tell you what, we got to start putting some things in place. And if we don't do it now, it's especially if we got to pray that Harris does not get reelected. But if she gets reelected, this is only going to get worse.
Yeah. I think we got a lot of city council members, mayors, and I'd say city attorneys that put some big boy pants on, and we need to get to work figuring this stuff out.
Absolutely. All right, that's round one of Butters and Lee, so we will take a break right now. We come back from this break, we flip the script. I don't even know what they're going to ask me, but I wait to see what kind of questions they've got for me and just hope that I can actually provide an answer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going back to round two of Butters and Lee. Ladies first, question for me. Lee, what do you have?
So all this has come out with Diddy and the parties and the possible recordings all the incredible nasty stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to get Epstein? Like, it's just going to go away and we're never going to know, like, a list of, you know, that Epstein list has never seen the light of day. But with Diddy, it's probably more entertainment people. There were probably some politicians mixed in there, but you know what I mean? So it's a little bit different class of people. Do you think we'll see more about this because of how salacious it is?
Okay, so two-part answer. One is I hope so, because this is sick. I mean, this is... Just what I know this is just absolute carnal grossness. I mean, this is on a Caligula scale. This is awful.
Yeah.
And it's not just awful in terms of, you know, what happened at these so-called Diddy parties, But it's also awful in the fact that it was apparently so widely known within the subculture of the entertainment industry, and they just perpetrated it over and over again, and everybody turned a blind eye and wink, wink, nod, nod. And yet we're also starting to get the picture that there were some people that were potentially abused in this, like Justin Bieber when he was a kid was at Diddy parties. I mean, for the love, what is going on when you have, and I don't know where his parents were, but the reality is, There's some madness that happened here. There's some derangement. So having said all that, I don't know. And the reason why I say that is because I really thought we were going to see more about Epstein until we didn't. But this one, though, there's something going on here because somehow or another, Diddy didn't make somebody happy. And so powers that be chose to go after him. And that's the thing that makes me think we're going to learn more. Because someone somewhere lifted the veil of protection and suddenly he was no longer the man in favor. And so that alone gives me reason to believe we may learn more. I think what we're going to wind up having to have too is some whistleblowers. I think he's going to turn on somebody. Somebody else is going to turn on three others. And then next thing you know, the feeding frenzy of trying to CYA is going to be everywhere. How far they go with it, I don't know, sister, but I hope that they tear down some strongholds, if you know what I'm saying.
Caligula was the perfect analogy. Perfect.
Thank you. I hate that it is, but it is. Makes me want to take a shower every time I think about it. Okay. Is that your whole question? I guess.
I kept it brief.
Okay. You did. Butter, she did not filibuster today. You have an entire 3.5 minutes to work with, brother. What are you going to do?
Oh, man. I don't know. I thought I'd talk about the United Nations.
Oh, geez. All right.
Summit of the future.
I went from Caligula okay, gotcha.
The globe, we'll narrow down. There's a lot of stuff that they seem to be talking about. Yeah. That I don't remember electing any of these fools. The Global Digital Compact. So basically, they're talking about trying to ensure social media platforms and actions to tackle disinformation and online harms. That doesn't sound bad.
No, not at all.
The compact includes an agreement on a roadmap for global AI governance. That sounds like the beginning of a very scary movie. So where do I go start throwing tea into what am I doing here to... Well, what is going on with the United Nations?
All right, brother. I think I lied to you on time, by the way. You're starting to filibuster, and I got like 45 seconds left to answer your question. First of all, the UN can go pound sand. I mean, this is about a worthless organization. Here's the idea. If we made them have to pay for all their traffic tickets in New York City, most of them would vacate and go home anyway. But they have blanket immunity. They run around acting as if they're making a difference on the world stage. And the truth be told, they spend a lot of money doing a lot of nothing. I saw them overseas on both deployments. Yeah, there's corruption and everything. But I saw them overseas on multiple deployments that they were in the mix doing nothing in the war zone. So to answer your question, I am not at all concerned about this. And I'm less concerned if Trump can get elected, because I don't believe he's going to cotton to any of it. In fact, he might just go ahead and make a condo out of the UN headquarters building and tell them to go home. There's my thoughts. Butters and Lee, love you both. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.